Let's remember back to Friday evening. Racing against the sunset on the Passover, Joseph of Arimathea, who was secretly a disciple of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus under the cloak of darkness, came and took Jesus' body as the soldiers took it down from the cross. And they wrapped it in linen strips tightly with myrrh and aloes. And when the body was bound head to toe, they placed it in a new tomb that had never been used before. It helps us to understand the story if we imagine what that tomb looked like. First century tombs might sort of be compared to mausoleums today. They often built tombs in a cave or dug them into a hillside, and the whole family would be buried there together in one tomb. At the entrance, there were niches, and in those niches, there were flat spaces, troughs, for a body to be laid for the first year. And then on the anniversary of the death, there was a second burial, and they would take the bones and they would put them in a little stone box called an ossuary, or they would put them in a pit in the tomb for bodies to be kept individually after that first year of decay. But in this tomb, there were no other bodies or bones. Because Joseph of Arimathea, we are told, offered for Jesus' body a new tomb. And after they laid Jesus' body there on the trough at the side of the entrance of the tomb, and they left, the sun set, and Sabbath began. The whole next day, no one came to the tomb because it was Sabbath. Mary Magdalene, though, was anxious to go. It was customary to go to the tomb every day for the first 3 days when it was someone you loved who had passed away. So I can just imagine in the night that she couldn't sleep as she waited. We're told she went in the watch that was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was still dark, and she left the house. When the others awoke, they would know where she had gone, and they'd come and they'd join her there. She knew that. In the dark, she didn't see until she was nearly on the tomb that the stone had been rolled away. It had to have been intentional. The authorities had sealed the stone to make sure that no one would move it. The stone was the height of a person. It covered the whole door. It was heavy, and it was laid in a track that had been dug in the dirt there across the entrance. And even a well-worn tomb, it would be difficult to roll the stone away from the door. Who had been there? Were they still there? Mary feared the worst. Had the temple authorities come and taken his body to make a further public display out of it? They had already scourged him with lashes. They'd nailed him to the cross and left him there to hang all day long until he died in the hot sun. Then they pierced his side. What else would they do to his body? Or even worse, had tomb robbers come? Now, in the first century, it was customary to place personal objects with the body in the niche there. And grave robbing was a common crime. Had they vandalized his body? Had they desecrated it? Where was it? What have they done to him? All these thoughts ran through her head as she ran to Simon Peter and the beloved disciple to say, "He's not there anymore." And together the three ran back to the tomb. The disciple, who was called Beloved, and Simon Peter went in and saw the strangest thing. We can't really describe it in English. The linen that had bound Jesus' body so tightly was still in its folds like a cocoon from which a butterfly had emerged. It was as if Jesus' body had completely dematerialized. It had just settled right where it had covered the body. The strips that bound him just lay there where his body had been. The napkin that covered his head lay where his head would have been. But he was gone. So Simon Peter and the other disciple went home, leaving Mary there weeping. A man came up, she guessed he was the gardener, asked her why she was weeping, if there was someone she was looking for. Still looking at the place where these linens lay in an inexplicable way, he said, "Do you know where the man who was here went? Did you take his body somewhere?" And the man standing there behind her spoke one word, "Mary." The good shepherd calls his sheep by name, and the sheep know his voice. I can only imagine the relief and the love that flooded over her. She must have thrown her arms around him in one of those embraces that you just never want to let go, because Jesus says, "You can't hold on to me like that. I'm not back on earth to stay. I will ascend to my Father." And so, letting go of him, she goes to the disciples and shouts, "I have seen the Lord!" But it's still not enough to change the disciples, because that night they're still locked up in an upper room, hiding out, and Jesus appears among them. His message was that they were not to stay locked in together, hiding out. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed onto them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Just as God in the garden had formed man out of dust from the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being, Jesus breathed on the disciples, and they truly began to live. Just as God in the valley of dry bones told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, the disciples are lifted up out of the deepest valley that they have ever been in. And they're on their feet, ready to go where Jesus sends them. And now, as we celebrate the risen Lord, as we come to his table and receive his body and drink the cup of salvation that he has poured out once again for us, again, the breath of life is breathed into us. God breathes into the dry bones of our lives. God breathes into the bones that have fallen apart in our lives. God breathes into the places in our lives where we have fallen down, and we are lifted up from the deepest valleys. We're stood up on our feet and stood together to support one another as the body of Christ, and we're sent by Jesus into the world to share the good news. This is the good news that we receive. God breathes new life into us, and all we have to do is receive. Receive the breath of God. God's Holy Spirit, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Thanks be to God. Amen.